Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
Monster Movie Media presents...
Greetings and welcome to episode 94 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, Creepy Kingdom listener Danielle, who is also a Walt Disney World cast member, shares with us the details of some of the new nighttime offerings at Animal Kingdom that she experienced during the cast member preview night. And we talk all about Animal Kingdom, and she shares a few thoughts and tales from being a cast member for many years. But before we get into that, just would like to kind of make note that we kind of took an unplanned hiatus for a month. Didn't really plan to do that, but in case you're unaware, our crew is in the process of beginning to make a documentary on Haunted Mansion fans called Foolish Mortals. And pretty much for the past month, we have been running a Kickstarter campaign to raise the funds to make the film. And it's kind of consumed our lives. Not just the Creepy Kingdom life, but pretty much all aspects of my life, personally. So things got put on the back burner a little bit. But, you know, we're going to get things back on our regular every other week schedule. That being said, this releases on Friday, June 3rd, 2016. And there is approximately 4 or 5 days left of our campaign. So there's still time if you want to get some of our sweet backer rewards and help us make this documentary. We will be doing another bonus episode with an update because it has been quite an eventful month. So many casting announcements. And one that we just announced, which I will just say here because we're very excited about it, is that Disney legend Rolly Crump will be appearing in our documentary. So yeah, we're pretty excited about that. But that's all for Foolish Mortals for now. If you would like to find our website and links to our Kickstarter, our website is foolishmortalsdoc.com. So now without any further ado, let's begin. I'm here with the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hello.
And our special guest, Creepy Kingdom listener, Danielle. Hello.
Hi.
Jumbo.
Jumbo.
Jumbo, everyone. Jumbo. And Danielle is a cast member at Walt Disney World. We won't disclose where she currently works, but she used to drive the Jeeps in the Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Yes, I'm so proud that I am part of the KSR club.
So, yes. How long did you do that?
I was a driver for only a year. Well, no, not very long.
Wait. I think we need to remind people, for our listeners who listen to the show all the time, that we read an email on our show from a listener who had something to say to James about the safari ride. And that listener who wrote that email is Danielle, who we have on the show now. So we went from James dissing the ride to Danielle writing in and telling him he was wrong to us meeting up in Disneyland to now her being on the show. So I just wanted people to understand how things work here at Creepy Kingdom.
Dreams do come true here at Creepy Kingdom.
They are. I will defend my ride with every last breath that I have.
Your last breath. Wow.
I was at Animal Kingdom when they opened it, and I wrote it for, they do cast previews usually anytime they get ready to open, you know, an attraction or a location. And I worked a nighttime job at the time, so I could go to Animal Kingdom every day. And it just got to the point where the cast members knew me, and I would just stay on the truck and they'd go cycle through again. So,
wow.
Yeah. I'm an animal person, just know that. So Animal Kingdom, Busch Gardens, very near and dear to me. So, but I was very excited that I got chosen to be a safari driver. And then I was there towards the tail end when they were phasing out the actual South Africans that they brought in as drivers. So that's kind of sad, because I would think that would be a pretty cool experience to have an actual South African drive your truck.
Yeah, why'd they phase out?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. I mean, it could be visas. I mean, they still have an international program. Usually our South African cast are part of the educational department. So you'll see them more presenting in the Africa area of Animal Kingdom or over at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Well,
so they're cultural representatives.
Yeah, I knew that the Animal Kingdom Lodge, but all right. Well, they left and you got to go out and do it. So you got to do it for
you. I did.
So that worked out for you.
Get on my way.
So
twin day.
So what was it that I actually said that prompted you to write in? Because I don't even remember.
I think you had only ridden the ride once, right?
That is correct.
And you said it was boring.
You said it was boring and you didn't really see anything.
I didn't.
And I believe you rode it towards the end of the day. Right?
Because
you ran in?
No.
Okay,
oh, no.
I was thinking you said you ran into Everest.
Yeah, that was a different trip. I haven't been on the safari since 2009. So, yeah, it was the middle of the day. But it was also, that day was like pouring rain all day. I don't know if that, does that affect the safari when it's raining all day?
It does. But it depends on if it's storming. I actually tell guests, I've always told my guests, you want to try to ride safari twice, you know, in the morning if you can, and in the afternoon. And if it is raining, as long as it's not lightning, then some of the best shots I ever had was in the rain. Usually the elephants love their water pool in the rain. But again, as long as it's not lightning, which is hard to avoid here in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was lightning. I just know like it was just like an all day. It wasn't the typical Florida, you know, hour,
gotcha.
10 minutes. No, it wasn't that. It was just like, it was an all day raining experience.
Just a miserable day. Well, I'm sorry you had that experience, because, you know, when I was frontline, I was all about making the magic. And, you know, every round, you know, they say to cast, you know, I know you get tired of hearing what time is the 3 o'clock parade, but imagine that's the person that's asking. It's their first time. So as a driver, every round, you know, I have to think that, you know, these 32 passengers have may not have been on this ride before. And this is their first time.
Right, so. Right. No, I'm sure the people, whoever did it was great.
I've had bad drivers too, so I'm very critical.
I'm sure that's possible too.
I've never had a bad driver. I have always had good drivers. And the next time we go to Disney World, I'm going to take James and we're going to have a blast on the safari. I will make sure of it or I will throw him to the rhinos.
Oh boy.
And I will be there to help.
There we go. We'll throw you into the where the flamingos are eating their like shrimp or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Their carotene.
Yeah.
So, on the hidden Mickey Island.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You guys talk about things I have no idea. So I took that one trip. I think what I was insinuating at that whole whatever I was talking about was that there's not too much in Animal Kingdom that I like to do as of the time of that recording. I know there's some new things coming along the mountain. But, you know, the three things that I love there, I mean, Everest, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say
dinosaur.
Like, I was gonna say dinosaur. I don't really love dinosaur. I just accept it, particularly because, you know, its counterpart, Indiana Jones, is a right. far superior experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's way too much in pitch blackness in Dinosaur.
Oh, man. See, I love Dinosaur, but if I hadn't had the first experience that I had on Dinosaur, I'm not sure I would like it as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it more than Indiana Jones.
Do you?
Why is that?
So, because the first time I wrote it, I was with Cupcake Terror and our friend Joe, and the ride broke down. None of us had ever been on it before.
Okay.
So it broke down, but all the lights went out and the car stopped, but all the sounds were still on.
Oh, wow.
So it was pitch, right? It was pitch black and the car's still like idling. So you're kind of bouncing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And all of the sounds are still on. So there's all the, you know, the dinosaur sounds, blah, blah, blah. And it, you know, it was like that for like over a minute. And so people are kind of starting to get freaked out. We're wondering if they're going to, like, turn on the lights and evacuate us or whatnot. And then the lights come back on. Well, you know the spot where they take the picture?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's where we were.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
So the lights went back on, and that dinosaur, we were in the front of the car. And that dinosaur that looks like it's going to eat you was right over Joe and Katie's head. So the lights go on and the car moves and the dinosaur's right there and they both scream at the top of their lungs like little girls. I'm laughing so hard. I laughed so hard I almost peed my pants. But the picture took. So we get off the ride and the picture is just these two terrified.
Oh.
It was the best. It totally made my day. I was thrilled. I seriously almost peed myself though. I laughed so hard.
Wow, so the whole time you were just inches away from danger.
Well, I used to work at Dinosaur. I was opening team of Primeval World. Wow. I worked most of the theaters, Tarzan Rocks. And, so I've worked a lot of places in Animal Kingdom. So,
huh. Well, the other thing that I do love, which is it's tough to be a bug.
Oh, it's so cute.
I think it's an amazing experience. I know I've in the past did a whole episode on it, but it's like I love things that just evoke extreme emotions, and I love being in there because you'll hear like this weird mixture of laughter and screaming and crying. And it uses all these like the effects they use in Tough to Be a Bug are very similar to this filmmaker from the 60s named William Castle, where he would do these like gimmicks and like things. And there's, if you go back and look at the things that he did, like all of those things are on It's Tough to Be a Bug. So I'm pretty sure that they were, you know, the whoever designed the ride was influenced by William Castle like gimmicks and tricks. So I just love everything about it. And I don't know that ride's like, that's like rarely open here at on the West Coast, because they always use that theater to like preview new movies.
Oh, really?
It used to be open all the time. I've actually never done It's Tough to Be a Bug in Disney World, because I had done it so many times here in California that it mm-hmm. seemed like a waste of time while I was there.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah, go that way. But it seems to make more sense at Animal Kingdom, because you feel like you're in the Tree of Life as opposed to
mm-hmm.
whatever you're doing at DCA. Right.
You're underground.
Oh, is that what you're just underground?
Yeah, you're in an anthill. You go through the dirt and underground.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Into the little anthill thing. No? Okay.
No, I don't know. I'll buy that.
I didn't do the DCA one. Well, I like to ride Heimlich's choo-choo train.
I love that ride.
It's so cute.
I haven't experienced any other Bugsland attractions.
What? Next weekend, me and you.
Oh, boy. I do want to do the bumper cars. I don't know. Bumper cars are fun. I don't know what
James, we're doing all of Bugsland next weekend.
I can't wait.
There you go. I'll be looking for the wait. Instagram photos.
Right.
Oh, boy.
We'll record from Bugsland and do a show. How right. terrified James is on Heimlich's choo-choo train. Yeah,
that's what everyone wants to hear.
I love it.
So moving forward in our timeline of events that we discussed.
Sorry.
No, that was okay. Wait, did somebody burp?
Yeah, it was me.
Oh. Why are you, Daniel, why are you apologizing for Roxy? That's what I was like, what?
That's what I thought too. I burped and she apologized. And I was like, wait, I did that, right?
Oh boy. No, so you were visiting Disneyland mm-hmm. about a month ago at this point, right? And
spout.
And that just happened to be at a time when Miss Roxy Tarr and Cupcake Tarr were visiting from the north, and we all were Disneyland at the same day. So we got to meet up for a few moments, and we had a little bit of a mm-hmm. magical exchange. Lots of Disney magic was buzzing all around us.
Yes.
that was pretty crazy how that worked out, though, because like Sarah and I were down for DragCon, and Katie didn't come with us. Cupcake Tarr didn't come with us. And then on Sunday night, she decided that she was going to fly down Monday morning. So we picked her up from the airport and went to Disneyland. So the only reason she was there was because at the last minute she decided to fly down. And like, we weren't really supposed to be at Disneyland. You know, we had all these other things going on, but we were going to go anyways. And James was only there for a couple hours. And Danielle, right. you happened to be there from the East Coast. Like, it was crazy how it all just right. worked out.
Worked out to my favor. So I got to meet you guys. Yes.
We got to meet you. I mean, come on. Trust me. I was really excited.
I was excited. And then to yell at you about KSR.
Right. You got to do it in person. So we actually did record a little bit when we met in the parks, and my phone went haywire, and I have lost the recording.
You guys, we did a really cool recording, okay? We got to talk to Danielle, and she got to yell at James, and it was right in front of the Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. It was super awesome. It was fun. Cupcake Tarr was there, like...
And Sarah Bunny.
Sarah Bunny was there.
But while we were doing this, a cast member, a photo pass cast member, started talking to Roxy about her hair, and I didn't even know we were recording, and just like butted right in the middle of our conversation.
And seriously. And like, I get people talk to me about my hair all the time, and cast members especially, because they're not allowed to do stuff like that, so they really like to see it. But mm-hmm. this girl, man, she was kind of aggressive about it. Like, she really liked me.
She would like come at you and then like back up and do the circle thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking was, oh, I can't believe we're recording this.
She had no idea we were recording. James got the whole thing and he lost it.
So sad.
Well, you know,
I can't believe you lost all my fan interactions.
Yeah, no.
So mean to me.
Well,
exhausted.
That led to me thinking, well, we lost the recording, but we got to bring Danielle on the show to make up for it.
Appreciate it.
Well, you lost two of my fan interactions, as a matter of fact.
Oh, because somebody yelled for you at the end.
Yeah, because not too long after that, we were trying to record again, and someone yelled, Roxy, from the Haunted Mansion line.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, gosh, James, well, what are you doing to me?
Well, I mean, now you get to talk about it, so.
Oh, that's true.
It's just as good.
I'm very well loved from you.
Yes, you are.
It's only slightly more vain when you talk about it than when we just play it.
I'm just telling the story that you lost. By the way, I really like Danielle. She pads my ego. We can be friends.
Thanks. I adore you guys.
Oh,
I really do.
So what else did we talk about?
I think that's all we talked about, right? Outside the Haunted Mansion, right? We didn't get too deep in anything else.
Mrs. Farley.
No, it was quick.
But we're not just going to talk about the lost recording. I did ask Danielle to come on because she informed me that she got to see some cast member previews of some new things at Animal Kingdom, and one of them might be creepy because they're at nighttime, so I don't know if they are or not. So, Danielle, why don't you tell us a little bit about the preview and what you saw?
Well, we went directly over. Actually, we went over to Everest first, and towards the Rivers of Light Theater. They were doing tours of the soon, well, at this point, everything started. So the new Jungle Book show. So they were still building the sets that week. So
now this theater, is this a new theater or is this repurposed or what is it?
It's a brand new theater. They just built kind of like a phantasmic seating arrangement right in front of Theater of the Wild.
Okay, and this is the
Theater in the Wild,
and this
sorry,
is the,
or the Nemo show.
Okay, and so this is the little body of water that's right near Everest you're talking about, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So it embody that whole section between the tree all the way moving towards Everest and Theater in the Wild.
Okay, and that's where Rivers of Light will be when it opens later this year.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really not sure what the Jungle Book show looks like. The sets were very, like, white, so I was like, I don't know what those sets
white?
Were.
But
well, Jon Favreau was there on opening night. Let's get him on the show, and we'll ask him what it was like.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There were pictures of
Dude, I
talking to the cast.
Yeah, can you arrange that for us, Danielle?
Oh, certainly. It. I'll look him up in our Outlook emails.
Outlook. Perfect. I'd appreciate that.
Along with James Cameron.
Oh, yeah, we could talk to him, too. That'd be okay.
Land.
Yeah, let's
I want to talk to him about Titanic.
About Titanic, yes.
Can you hold the phone for me?
Let's talk about... Well, actually, I do want to know what it's like, you know, with the construction of Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen some pictures, you know, online, but what does those floating mountains look like, in, you know, in real life?
Right now, they look like barbed wire.
Well, that just ruins magic.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a fun to see, you know, because I'm at Animal Kingdom all the time. So to see how quickly it's grown. And I will admit, I'm not a fan of the Avatar movie. So when I heard about it, I was a little like, really? But as it comes along and seeing some of the conception art, it looks amazing.
It's going to be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, I hope they do right by it and to really compete with Harry Potter. It seems to be the big thing. So,
well, yeah, my thoughts on all this is like, I mean, I liked Avatar when it came out. You know, I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I was like, oh, it was a good movie. Whatever. It wasn't. I think it was maybe like a year or so after is when they first announced that they were building this. And my thoughts was like, well, you know, I was like, oh, all the light up plants and all that stuff in the movie. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's like, I'd like to see that. I'm like, weird choice, but okay. You know, but as so much time has gone by since then that it's just like, who cares? Like, it's kind of a throwaway movie. I know they're coming out with like three sequels, but at this point, it's kind of just like a throwaway movie. Like, it was hot for a while and now it's gone. So I don't think that many people are so excited about, you know, the Avatar, like, IP, but
right.
But, you know, it's always fun to see, you know, Imagineering kind of do things and, you know, that are, we haven't seen before. I mean, that's what we all love, you know, or
right.
And so I'm just like, all right, that's cool. But I don't think it ever compete with Harry Potter because people have so much
nothing
love.
Nothing competes with Harry Potter.
But so much,
I agree.
People have so much
I agree.
Love for Harry Potter, like IP, even if it like was subpar, the, you know, the lands at Universal, which they're obviously not, but even if they were, people would still love it more than an Avatar land, you know, because the connection. But Diagon Alley is hands down the best theme park land in any theme park in the world. And, I mean, of course, I will argue
and
that
you
point.
You can fight him on that.
I will argue that point. And I think the only thing that's going to beat it is probably Star Wars. But
I haven't seen Avatar. I never saw it. I saw like the last 10 minutes of it because it was on TV and I was doing dishes. But I haven't seen the movie, so I'm not excited about Avatar Land at all because I have nothing to base it off of. Right. But like you said, I am excited because it is a new Disneyland and the Imagineers are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see what they do with it and, you know, what the land is, but I don't have anything to compare it to. So,
well, there's lots of light up plants, so that does look cool.
And you know me, I'm good with anything that lights up.
You're gonna love it. I think it's gonna look cool.
Yeah,
you
is
know.
Is it gonna be like tripping because that?
Yeah. Oh
I'll
yeah.
Like it.
Oh yeah. No, the that's the thing. At nighttime, all the plants like they glow. They're like it's definitely trippy looking for sure. So they better be duplicating that, or that's a big fail. If that is not what's happening there. At nighttime in Avatar Land, I don't know what is going on over there. But anyway,
they might as well call it something else then.
Right,
at that
you know.
Point. So, and our understanding was the land is supposed to coincide with the second movie. But
okay, which
I think somebody else mentioned they haven't even started filming the second movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
The people creature thingies, they're blue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it doesn't light up and it doesn't look like Avatar, then they could just call it Smurf Village and be done
right.
with it.
Well, they're huge, so they're a lot bigger than Smurfs.
But, yeah.
Oh.
But
okay.
But anyways, I you know, there's our Avatar talk. So, anyways, right. back to what you saw. What were the two new things that you saw during the cast previews?
So we watched the Awakening of the Tree. So as the tree slowly comes to life, and it's that projection that they use on the castles before the nighttime shows.
Okay. So how what do you think of that?
That was pretty – I enjoyed it. I will say at first it's kind of like if you're just staring at the tree, it looks like stuff out of the corner of your eye is moving. So then your eye moves to that, and then it's, okay, wait a second. I just thought I saw something over here moving.
Oh, so it's
so
subtle?
It's subtle. And then there is an actual show. I don't know how that works if it's the particular time. There's, according to what they told us, there's four different storylines that will be shown on the tree, and we stayed to watch two of them. The first one was kind of like the circle of life, a lot of animals, and once they start all coming to life, like it was really pretty. So kind of reminded me of the globe at Epcot. As it's moving around and it's showing the different animals and people on the planet, and so that one's good. The second show is more with a deer and a bird. And the deer's chasing the bird, and it runs this bird into a creepy forest. And I don't like that. It's creepy, and I get very animal sensitive, whether they're real or fake. So I'm like, what's going to happen to this deer? Because the trees are attacking it. And then the bird shows up again. And then it's one of those, like, kind of the you know, at Disney every once in a while, you're like, I don't understand what that was about, but.
Yeah, that does happen every once in a while.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody has a reasoning to that. But visually, it was beautiful. Like, I mean, I enjoy the projections on the castle as well. So I don't know what the other two storylines are supposed to be shown, but they said the guests will never know. So I don't know if they'll
rotate them
through. Yeah, spring them on. So then, of course, safari time.
Well, one last thing on the tree. Do you really feel like there's a lot of viewing areas for that? Like, it seems like there's only like a few spots where you can get a good view of the front of the tree.
Yes, because I was like, well, wouldn't you go all the way around? But I didn't ask anybody, and people were like, I don't think it goes to the back. So from the front, and again, with the cast preview, you're not talking about like a regular guest populated day.
Right.
But we could see it from where Pizza Safari, that side, which would be where the new Tiftons is at.
Isn't it Pizza Fari, like one word?
Pizza Fari, yes, it is one word.
Come on, you work there. What's up?
Okay, that's the one costume I did not wear.
Okay.
You didn't get to work at Pizza Fari?
No. I worked in a Restaurantosaurus, but at Pizza Safari. I was like, no, thank you, on that 80s flashback Hammer Time pants.
Right.
On the big shoulder. I think maybe if you're even standing back further as you're heading towards the main entrance, probably even looks better. I mean, we walked right up to the front.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of weird that it's not on the back. Like, why wouldn't you want it to go all the way around and have the whole tree come to life? But again, right? I didn't go back there, so I'll have to check it out when I go back next week.
All right, report back. We'll know.
I will report back. Say, nope, it's just to the front.
Well, I mean, is there even place? I mean, it seems like that's going to be quite a congested area. People are like staking their claim, because my memory of it isn't like it's super big. You know, it's been a few years since I've been there, but. Like that air right from the tree. I don't know. It just seems like people.
I think if people feel like that's where they have to stand, they're definitely going to all rush up there. But I don't think they really have to. You can see it from either side, whether you're on the Dinoland Bridge side.
Okay.
On that corner, or like I said, heading towards Pizza Safari. So.
Neat.
Yeah. So.
So let's go on a nighttime safari.
Yeah, talk about it.
What is it actually called? Is it called the nighttime safari, or is it?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite sure. We just all call it night safari.
Okay.
And that's another thing why I'm curious to go next week, is to see how they're going to transition it. So if you can kind of picture the original track of Safari, they shortened the track for the nighttime safari. They hadn't done in the past, so I thought that was an added value to the experience, because it can get a little scary when you get back towards the where the monkeys.
Oh man, sorry. They made it less scary.
The mandrels, sorry. No. Well, as a driver at night, I can imagine how that could be a little nerve-wracking on that road, you know. It's weird that guests think we don't actually drive those trucks.
Right.
We do.
Yeah, we're kind of conditioned to think that everything's on a track. You know?
Everything's on a track.
Yeah.
But granted, they only go up to like 7 or 8 miles. But, the birds, were always my foe. Like, don't get in front of my truck.
Well, I guess it just makes sense that they would shorten it a little bit. That means they don't have to have as many second shift animals. And. Yes. They can do more rides, more people, and you know, the shorter hours. So that makes sense.
Absolutely. So I'm curious to see when they switch from day safari to night safari. They did add, you can't do a lot with lighting, because you don't want to mess with the animals you know, their internal clocks. Mm-hmm. So there is, they added this panel. I guess they added some lights, and they refer to it kind of as moonlight. So I got the feeling that the storyline is you're kind of, no matter what time of night that you get on the truck, that it's still going into like twilight.
Like sunset then, kind of thing?
Yes, sunset, I'm sorry. And then as you get down into the savannah, they lit up the back to make it look like a sunset.
So it's like a screen or something? Is that what you're saying?
It looks like a big digital sunset. through the horticulture. It was weird because some of the animals were standing in front of it, like staring at it. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm intrigued.
What is that, you guys?
Awesome. Can you imagine like just laying around looking at each other? Hey, have you noticed the sun hasn't set yet?
Right.
It's been setting for a really long time, guys.
It's been setting every 5 minutes on repeat. Or I don't know how long it takes to cycle through there, but...
The normal ride takes about 18 to 22 minutes. So I got the feeling that the night safari, maybe 15 minutes. I don't know. I was so excited. I wasn't paying attention because I was looking. I mean, it's going to be hard to get the mindset of most guests that are there to like record every minute of their experience at Walt Disney World, whether it's on a GoPro or their cameras and their phones. Our first driver, he was really big on spieling that this is an experience, that you can't use flash photography, you cannot use external lights. With the guests, that could be a hard one because they want to take pictures.
Oh, it'll be good for people.
I agree.
Put down your phone and look at what's in front of you.
Exactly. Because you will still have to look really hard for the animals, and you're going to count on having a really good driver to find those animals for you.
Okay.
So my first ride through.
Hold on one second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just let's pause real quick. Hold on. I'm going to drop back on. So you were saying about your first ride through. That's where I cut you off.
Oh, first ride through. Like, we saw a lot of animals, a lot more than I ever expected, you know, because I'm kind of an old school driver. I was there at the time they were phasing out the night safaris because they just weren't a guest satisfier. Yeah, you couldn't see any animals. The animals know when their dinner bell is, and they're like, peace out. Yep. I got stuff to do in the barns. And
but guests don't have to worry about that with this new night safari, right? Because now there's a second shift of animals.
Correct. So, which I thought was, wow, why didn't they think of that the first time? So, yeah, I call it the A team and the B team. And I'd be curious to know, like, how they get chosen, especially, like, with the elephants and the lions. So I'm not really sure. I did an animal keeper internship as well a long time ago, and just how they work the backstage areas with these animals, absolutely amazing. But yeah, like I said, I was quite shocked. Like, I didn't expect to see half the animals that I saw. And one of the most amazing part of my first round were two of the female lions and a male lion were out, and they were walking. They weren't pacing like some animals that just kind of feel like they don't want to be there. They'll pace. Mm-hmm. They were just walking around like, hey, what's up? And the male lion, he started huffing. People are like, he's roaring. And I'm like, he's not roaring. If he was roaring, this whole park would hear it. But lions will do like a,
yeah.
And so they would call it huffing. And when I was a driver, like, you would race to get your trucks open because the first two trucks out on the road got to do like a show ops thing, and you would go through in the morning. And the best part of that was, you know, just make sure everything's running, the bridges are running, and the animals look happy. and that the lions would always come out and huff in the morning, and that's usually something a guest wouldn't see. So I never would have thought that the lions would do it at night, and he was just happily huffing away, and I was like, oh my God, I can't record this because nobody would see it.
It's too dark. Well, actually, I just want to ask about the darkness of it. Do you think that it's like dark enough that it could be kind of creepy, or is it just lit up enough that it doesn't really make a difference that it's nighttime?
There were parts that were kind of creepy, like down by the Hippo River was dark down through there. And then when you come over, if you kind of know the ride, like you come through the hippos and then you go across the bridge with the crocodiles. And then
that's my favorite part.
Wilson would come on and say, go poly poly. Again, I'm like old school spiel. I don't even know if any of this spiel is still in there, because I know they got rid of Miss Jopson.
Well, they
Wilson's
took,
still in there.
Did they
somewhere?
Take away a lot of the story? Because that's one thing I heard, something too, that the whole with the poachers and all that stuff, is that still there?
Somewhat, but not as much as when I was there.
Really?
Certainly not as much as when the ride opened. You know, that whole area where you would end up, where they catch the poachers. Wilson's in the plane, Little Red's in the back of the Jeep. I was one of the last groups that actually would have to stand up there as part of your shift and go, Little Red's okay. And I wasn't part of the
anymore?
Team. No. Actually, that whole scene is gone. That's
how long has it
animal.
Been since I was on this ride?
That's been at least over a year. And I think they took it out way before that.
I guess I haven't been to Disney World in quite a few years, but I've never been on the ride when it wasn't that.
Yeah, it's
always the poacher story and the little elephant, and like I didn't know that they had changed it.
Yeah, no more Little Red. And
nobody
Little
tells
Red's backstage.
Yeah, I'd heard there was changes. They took that element out, and I think I like that element of it.
Yeah,
I was there when the original park previewed, and they had originally had a dead elephant with the poachers, and then, you know, those helicopter tours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they kept trying to report us saying we had a dead elephant. And
oh,
then,
wow.
People's feedback was, well, that was too harsh for their little kids to see an actual, well, this dead elephant. So they put the elephant backstage, and then it was just Little Red in the truck. And they would say the mama's okay to kind of ease over if any children were concerned.
Right.
As we're kids, chasing the poachers. Life, okay? What's going on?
I agree. So that whole area is gone now. That's where the scimitar horned oryx, I believe, hang out. They tried to keep the zebras up there, but the zebras, they're pretty randy. They're naughty.
They're randy.
So they usually get sent to the retirement field. So they just don't play well with others.
It happens.
But yeah, so they still mention poaching. They have like some tents still within the scenes. That's over by the flamingos, actually, is the tents, and they'll mention it in their spiel. But yeah, that whole element pretty much of let's go chase down and get those poachers, and there's nobody shooting at you or anything. So
if there's no poachers and you're not trying to save an elephant, no one's shooting at you, and you don't get to like listen to Wilson talk, what's the ride about now?
That's a great question.
I'm confused. I'm genuinely confused. I had no idea that they had changed this ride. Like,
yeah. They, I'm trying to think when I last wrote it during the day. It's quite a while ago. It's basically the experience of being out on this safari. And I don't even remember if they call it a 2-week safari anymore. You know, back in my day, we were going out for 2 weeks, and then the poachers happen and you have to cut your trip off. But it's, you're on this day tour of experience to go look for animals.
I wonder why they turned that down.
Dude, I could go to the zoo to do that. I want my Disney magic with my safari.
Right.
Yeah, very, very weird.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle can't comment on that. Why?
Oh, I honestly don't know, but I mean, it's just sad because that's how I knew Safari. So when I go and I take my guests, I'm still doing off that spiel. And
so when you ride with people, match up. You do your own spiel?
I do. I always request the back row because I don't want to interrupt the driver. And I do my own spieling, and I can usually point out the animals before the driver. And they've changed out some of the animals. So I was just like, wait, where are the Thompson gazelles? We no longer have Tommies. And that's probably why Wilson doesn't talk about it on the truck anymore. You know,
that makes sense.
Oh, Miss Jobson, we call them Tommies.
Okay, well, when we go, you got to ride with us.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going with you.
I want to hear the old spiel.
We're going with you, Danielle.
That's right.
That's the safari that I love.
So. I threatened James with that. I'm like, I'll take you on that truck. You will not be bored.
We'll record it.
There you go. We'll keep riding.
I'll make
but,
sure.
But like I said, with the nighttime, like they don't spiel a whole lot, the drivers, which I think is very... critical for safety. They really have to concentrate on driving.
Okay.
I didn't notice so many birds. The cranes were out and the pinkback pelicans, not so many birds. The ostriches were not out, and I don't know if that's normal. So the nighttime experience really is just really concentrating to look for those animals in the dark and hopefully enjoy it.
Oh, so, very cool.
We'll give it a shot. Maybe we can make it creepy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Drivers were bored. They do their own spieling. And
we'll download like creepy animal sounds on our phone. We'll sit in the back and we'll play it when nobody's paying attention. We'll make it creepy.
It'll be creepy.
Yeah, they canned in some animal noises. And I was like, okay.
Oh, you hear some fake noises? Hey,
yeah. Yeah. I think mostly it was down by the Hippo River. But I mean, we had an elephant. I had giraffes. I mean, they had the big guys out, the hyenas. The painted dogs are the day team, and the hyenas are the night team. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love hyenas.
They're so, they just smile. They're cute.
Are the gators out at night?
The crocs are out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, man, they're scary.
I love them.
They are. And I always, when I worked at Animal Kingdom, because, you know, in Dinoland, we have an alligator, American alligator. We have our crocodiles in Africa. And people are like, well, those are fake. And I'm like, believe me, they are not fake. And every once in a while, one of those turkey buzzards would fly too close to the crocodiles, and they would jump and snatch it in midair.
Wow.
If you got to witness that on safari, that was like,
that's awesome.
And you met, and yeah, and the sad thing is, when I worked at Safari, there were no smartphones.
So, wow, what year was that?
2001, 2002.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, if there was Apple products, not everybody had them, and
right,
good old flip phones.
We didn't have camera phones.
Yeah, you didn't have cameras. Yeah.
Nope.
So, are there any other attractions anywhere on Walt Disney property that you've worked on?
As far as attraction wise, is all been at Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Dinoland. I did all of Dinoland. I drove the parking trams up at the front, which is its own attraction, and can tell you plenty of stories about that.
Well, please do. Can you tell us any of those stories? Or is that
it's for her memoir.
Is that for your memoir?
It's for my memoir. Well, that's just the trams are they're kind of a pain, but you know, they just go so slow. But in parking in general, just people just say the weirdest things, and you're like, oh, like people would say, well, I have a stroller. Can I park up front? Well, every other car in here has a stroller.
Right.
Just, I'm not standing in the heat on concrete waving for no reason and stuff like that. Or people try to chase down the trams. And I'm like, there's another tram right there coming. Like,
right?
Why are you chasing my tram down?
It's right behind you.
Yeah. Stuff like that. I got accused of separating a mother from her child. She said I would hold the tram for her. I never had a conversation with this woman.
Wow.
And she claimed she hopped on a motorcycle, and this guy tried to get her to her child up to the tram.
What?
And, yeah. So, you know, they come and ask you, did this happen? The guest said this happened. Did this happen? You know, you give witness statements.
And like, you're like,
no.
What?
Yeah.
We almost lost my brother off a tram once.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. My little brother, he almost jumped off the tram, like head first. He wasn't like trying to jump off the tram. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll tell this. Okay. It's a really long story, but I'll tell it as short as possible.
All right.
So I went down to Disneyland with my little brother. We drove. I was 17 years old. He was 11 years old. My grandma and my mom were going to fly down and meet us there. Okay. Mm-hmm. The last thing my mom said to me before we left the house was, I love you guys. Be safe. And Roxy, do not alter your brother in any way. So we got down there. We stopped in Hollywood. I got his ear pierced. We kept going to Anaheim. I got his ear pierced on Hollywood Boulevard. It was awesome. The guy was like, are you his mom? And I'm like, no, I'm his big sister, but I'm over 18, so it's fine. Yeah, this idiot. So we get there, and I had clippers with me and hair dye. So I shaved my brother's hair into Bihawks, and we dyed it bright green.
Oh, wow. Oh, all to your brother.
He was totally down, dude. He was totally down. But anyways, so then we decided we were going to go into the park, and we left a message with the hotel, you know, because we there were no cell phones then. Or, well, there were, but they were expensive. Yeah. We weren't drug dealers. We didn't have cell phones. So we left a message with the front desk. When my mom gets here, please tell her that, yes, we have checked in already, and you know, we put our stuff in the room, and we're going to be in Disneyland, and we'll be back, and we'll meet them here. So we knew what time their flight was getting in. So when we thought they would be at the hotel, we headed back over there, and they were there. But apparently, the front desk never gave them the message, and also the front desk never told them that we checked in.
Oh my God!
So they were freaking out, worried about where we were, and they were just in this panic, right? So we walk in. And we're fine. And so neither of you are parents, right?
No.
Okay. Not. When you're a parent, there's this feeling that you get when you see that your child is okay. And it's like this wave of like relief and then anger because they scared you so much. And that's exactly what happened. It was this wave of relief. And then they were really pissed off. And then they saw my brother. My grandma was so mad, she threatened to go home. She went outside, got in a cab, and was going to go back to the airport and fly home.
How old was your brother, by the way?
He was 11.
Oh, okay.
So fast forward. We convinced grandma not to go home. We go back to Disneyland, and she made him buy this cap, this goofy cap that he had to wear all weekend long. He was not allowed to take off this hat. If she saw his hair, she said we were all going home immediately.
Wow, grandma.
Yeah. So it's like our, I don't know, second or third day there. We're on the tram. We're on our way back to the hotel. And at this point, there was no California Adventure. So the tram went right through the parking lot and took us like right to where our hotel was. Mm-hmm. So we're on the tram, and my brother's hat flies off his head. And he was so desperate to stay at Disneyland that he jumped up to catch his hat. Because he was so afraid of losing this hat, okay? Mm-hmm. So it flew off his head. He jumped up. He jumped out of the tram.
Really? Wow.
Get his hat, just without even thinking. It was just one fluid movement. Jumped out of the tram, arm and hand first. I grabbed the back of his pants. He grabbed his hat, and he is, like, flying over the side of the tram. And I'm caught by his pants, like, trying to get him back into the tram.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Did grandma let him stay, or did you have to go?
Yeah, no, we stay. That he got that hat.
Yeah, you got.
Okay, we got in trouble from the tram driver, but
yeah.
Yeah, they thought we were fooling around. We weren't fooling around. I was trying to save my brother. But yeah, so we almost lost my brother on a tram because he had to get that hat. So.
Oh, brother. So that's the kind of crazy things that happen. Then the tales from the parking tram.
Yeah, I got thrown off the tram. That's probably why now they connect themselves.
You got thrown off, like...
I was the spieler in the back, and when you go into, like, the curve, the back, the last train car would... It, like, kind of would, like, hitch, but it felt like the driver was picking up speed to, like, purposely, like, jerk me, basically. But he wasn't. Wow. And, yeah, like, the third time around, because I kept telling the driver, you need to slow down on the curve, please. I'm getting thrown back here. And he's like, I swear I'm not doing anything. And the third time, the car hitched, and I went flying into the rails.
Wow.
Rolled into the parking lot, and maintenance had to come out, and it was something wrong with the car. And now I'm like, oh, I see now the cast, like, actually get latched into the back of the car.
Wow, you had to be the guinea pig for that, huh?
That was because you made it so the people were safe.
That's right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, thank goodness I've never broken anything at work.
Wow.
Been to health services. Yes, my body is broken. As far as attraction wise, I've worked the Animal Kingdom. Primeval World is another one that will.
I've never done that one, but I hear from most people it's a pretty unpleasant experience.
I was so let down by that ride.
It's a cat and mouse coaster. It's a carnival ride.
It's just a carnival ride.
It's a carnival ride, and it's hard to work it with the guest capacity that we get. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, they've done better over the years.
It was the first roller coaster I had ever seen that, like, the where it spun, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That kind of roller coaster. It was the first one that I had ever seen was Primeval World. And I was super excited because I was like, oh, my God, this is a spinny ride and a roller coaster in one. This is going to be the greatest ride ever. It turns out it was not the greatest ride ever.
At all. You didn't feel like you were going to get thrown off?
I don't know what I felt, but it was not the, like, elation that I was expecting
That's
to
not
feel.
What you thought.
It's amazing ride. No, well, I was really let down.
Well, you got to give props to its name, which is a reference to Primeval World from...
Yes.
The World's Fair and now lives at Disneyland.
Yeah, we call it Primeval Hurl. A lot of protein spills on that ride. A lot of threats on that ride. As a height, when you work a height requirement ride, that's...
So people get nasty when the kids don't make it?
People get nasty, yeah. And I'm like, seriously? I care about your kids' safety more than you do. And I always told them, you know, make sure you spell my name correctly when you complain about me at guest relations.
Yeah. Ooh,
burn.
Because,
because you're doing your job.
And I'm like, no way.
I don't understand those parents. Like, I really, really don't. I would never put my son on a ride that could hurt him. Like, that makes no sense to me at all. He's not going to have fun if it takes off his head. Like,
Or it could, you know, it's what people don't understand. It's the seat belts. Or, you know, when you look at Primeval World, you got two people in a seat with one lap bar. And you have a big adult with a little kid. That little kid can go sliding right through. So... Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand, but you know, I've had people like go into Chester and Hester's and buy those king size Snicker bars and put them in their kids' shoes.
What?
Yeah. When their kids are wearing flip flops or Crocs, and I'm like, I can see you added candy bars into your kids' shoes.
A weird choice.
What the hell?
Yeah. Candy bars, huh? And the hot Florida humidity. All right, good choice.
Make a quick child and get measured. And I'm like,
Before your feet turn all chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
sir, could you remove the candy bars from your child's flip-flops, please? Yeah. What the hell are people thinking?
Yeah, it's fun when those height requirement attractions. That's why I was so happy to move over to Safari, just be with animals. There's no height requirement.
Instead of people.
The biggest complaint was, you know, they couldn't see the cheetahs or the lions. So I'm like, well, because cats sleep 18 to 20 hours a day. What are you going to do?
So is there any attraction? Because you currently don't work in any attraction right now.
No, my job is boring, stressful and boring. And well,
those are
backstage.
Not, those are not good adjectives to describe a job.
No, it's fine. I know people, some non-Disney people are like, well, why do you work there? I'm like, it's not Disney. It's just, you know, every once in a while you get into a role that just, and it's fine. I'm happy. It's just, I'm one of those people, like, if you look at my Disney resume, I used to move around every year, but then once you get to a certain point in the company, if you don't have a master's degree or this background, it's kind of like, well, where do you go? Like, if I could keep my pay and go back to Safari, I would, but there's the union and non-union roles, so it's kind of that world, yeah, so, which is, you know, it's all fine, but... Well, it's just I don't have any fun stories unless you want to hear me complain about how my computer wasn't working today or to call IT because my phone went dead. Yeah. I don't have any fun stories like, oh, this one time when I had to put, you know, P. Diddy and Jennifer Lopez on Dinosaur.
Did you do that? Is that a true story?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have those fun stories anymore when let's see, what's the Hannah Montana chick gave me the finger?
Miley Cyrus? Why did Miley Cyrus give you the finger?
She's just rude. She's an ignorant child, I guess.
No, but what? Well, I don't mean why did she decide that was okay. I'm like, what did you do to prompt such anger out of her?
Oh, she wanted something in her room, and we weren't moving fast enough for her, and... While we were waiting for a manager to come gather her up to get her out of the lobby of the hotel I worked at, she decided, well, it was when the manager finally arrived, she turned around and gave us all the finger.
Oh, kind of like, now I'm going to get what I want. So
exactly.
What a sweet little girl.
Exactly.
That's cute.
I know, celebrity stories. But, I mean, I've worked with a lot of... fun celebrities.
Do you get a lot
of
celebrities down in Florida? I know at Disneyland there's always celebrities here. But
I was so excited when I was at Disneyland when I met you guys.
Because we're celebrities.
The actress that plays Regina, which her first name is Lana, so I'm horrible with names. So
Perella.
Regina, Evil Queen.
Lana Perella.
Yes. She walked right past me. I was in my wheelchair at that point, and I was like, Lana, and she'd turn around, and then Guest Relations came out of nowhere and snatched her up, and I was like, oh, but I mean, even as a cast member, I don't ask for photos or... I went to New York to see Daniel Radcliffe and Equus, and we stood at the back door, and it was a bunch of my girlfriends were all from Disney, and my one friend was like asking him for a picture, and I was like appalled, like, we can't do that. Like, my family up north is like, you're so Disney, like, you're just so Disney, and I'm like, I can't help it. You know, it's like being in the military. I compare it, you know, it's not the life for everyone, but...
No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but once you're in it, like, I hope I'm there for life, so...
Well, we hope you are, too, but the thing I was going to ask, too, which probably... So where you're at now is kind of above... the pay grade of working attractions, but let's just say you could keep your pay grade, and if you could work at any attraction, what would it be?
Haunted Mansion.
So I knew the answer to that before. So you were telling us before that you tried to work there, right? And what happened?
I did. You know, when you get hired into the company, and again, I don't know how it works at Disneyland because I know their unions work a little differently than our unions. You're hired. I believe we have about 6 different unions on property. So depending where you fall in, like food and beverage and merchandise, attractions, transportation. So This, of course, long time, so you didn't have, like, computers in every home. You had to physically go to the casting building and fill out a piece of paper, kind of like a wish list of where you would want to work. And I would just put down Haunted Mansion. So that was my dream. When my mom and I decided to move down to Florida, my family's always been down here and always has worked for Disney. So I was like, Haunted Mansion. They're like, we don't have full time. So I had took whatever full time position was available. So you would refresh your list every 6 months. I would never get a call for Haunted Mansion. And it wasn't until years later that a manager was telling me, he's like, well, did you ever put Adventureland Liberty Square? Because that's the area of the attraction. And I was just so upset because I'm like, for 6 years, I waitlisted Haunted Mansion. You would think somebody at casting would have said, hey, maybe you should put Adventureland Liberty Square.
Right.
So I'm always bitter against casting on that sad note. But
why is it Adventureland Liberty Square?
Because that's like the area. So
isn't Frontierland connect with Liberty Square?
No. So Frontierland is actually its own area. So if you wanted to work Big Thunder Mountain in my park, you would want to put Frontierland.
Yeah, so, no. Frontierland is hella far away from Liberty Square.
No way, because it's right where the Liberty Square connects. Country Bear Jamboree is right near. Is like right across the way from the entrance of Haunted Mansion. Like, you could see them both in the same place, can't you? Or am I totally off?
No, you can. Country Bear and Country Bear falls into Frontierland.
Yeah, they're next to each other. They're definitely next to each other. But I didn't think that Liberty Square connected with Adventureland at any point. Like, I can't even picture it.
It's that weird breezeway. That's where the connection is, the breezeway by the Aladdin carpets.
Oh yeah, by the Dole Whips.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Hall of Presidents, kind of. It's a weird area itself, but as opposed to Tomorrowland is Tomorrowland and Fantasyland is Fantasyland, so that's my bitterness on that, but everything works out for a reason.
I suppose.
Yes. But I mean, with the talk of your documentary of Foolish Mortals, which I'm so excited. And Haunted Mansion was just always a dream of mine. And the closest I got was to work the merchandise cart in front of the attraction during one of the Halloween parties. So
did you have, were you dressed up like the rest of the mansion maids with the zombie makeup on and the spider webs?
No, I didn't have the makeup. Thing.
That is my favorite.
It is.
I do.
No,
love
it. Loves that.
I didn't get to be that special. I've worked a lot of places in Magic Kingdom, but I've never been statused to a location in Magic Kingdom. So that's the fun part of if you're trained in merchandise, you can almost pick up a shift anywhere because it's the same system. So I was trained at merchandise at Animal Kingdom, so I'd pick up shifts in other places.
So you did attractions in Animal Kingdom, mm-hmm. like the safari and the stuff and dinosaur and that kind of stuff. You did merchandise in Animal Kingdom, so you could pick up that stuff in any other park. And then you did food.
I did food and beverage.
And beverage in Animal mm-hmm. Kingdom. So would that mean that you could also work in other parks? Because it's
absolutely
kind of the same. Mm-hmm. And then you said you did hotel as well, right?
Yes, I opened Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Wow.
As front desk. I've worked almost every front line of business. So I started at Pleasure Island in tickets and valet.
Oh, yeah, in Pleasure Island.
I went from there to Typhoon Lagoon. I was guest services and tickets.
Wow, you've worked at every single thing, huh?
That's so cool.
I opened Disney Cruise Line on the reservation side, so I got to open the magic and the wonder. Then from there, I finally made it to Animal Kingdom because I also waitlisted for Safari for 2 years.
Wow.
To try to get in. I interviewed for Animal Kingdom opening team, but I had only been with the company for 2 months, and they wanted people with more experience. So I tried.
You started working at Disney World almost right when I moved back to California from Florida. Because I moved home right before Animal Kingdom opened.
Before it opened?
Yeah.
I started January of 97. So almost, yeah. I'll be celebrating 20 years next year.
20 years.
Nice.
So what do they do for your 20-year anniversary?
They better do something special.
You get a pin.
You do out my, your pin is, well, you get a 1-year pin and then it goes every 5. Let's see. I forget. They've changed some of the gifts. So you do get a gift. So my 20-year used to be a ring, but they changed it a couple years ago. So now it's a statue. And you get the ring when you retire from the company, as long as you retire with more than 20 years in the company.
Neat.
So I really wanted the ring, but I'll just have to wait a little longer. That's okay. Yeah.
You'll still get it, though, because that's kind of awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So... But yeah, I've worked Disney Cruise Line, the water parks. I even worked at River Country. I would pick up shifts at River Country, Blizzard Beach.
Did you work at Fantasia Gardens?
I did not work the mini golf.
All right. We found a place to have.
I did not work mini golf. And I almost worked every resort except for Old Key West, Saratoga Springs, which would have been the Disney... was something before Saratoga. And then, of course, Art of Animation, which wasn't built at the time. Yeah. But that was the fun part with resorts. They would deploy you also. So if maybe one area is short, then they would take, like, you know, your lower senior cast and they would deploy you out. So some people didn't like, because it's out of their comfort zone, where I'm like, well, what's over here? What's going on over here? Yeah, like, what's this area like? Because that's how, as a cast member, you would learn maybe that's where you want to transfer.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe this part's more fun. Maybe this part's more accessible. So
my first trip ever to Disney World, it was in the summer of 97. It was in August of 97. It was the first time I ever went to Disney World. We spent an entire day, morning to night, touring the hotels and like walking around and seeing all the different ones and taking the trams and stuff. And it's still one of my favorite memories of Disney World, because they're so much fun. Like, I can't imagine being a cast member and not wanting to work at all of the different hotels and see all the different, you know, settings. And
some people just like to just check in and turn their brain off and do the same thing every day.
True. But I mean, over the years, they've added so many activities to the resorts now. It's like that could be a vacation itself. And I like, I tell a lot of my guests and my friends, if you can come down here during the holidays, like the resorts, they're just absolutely beautiful. It's the only time I'll go into the Grand Floridian. The Grand and I have bad blood. So my friends are like, oh, okay, it's gingerbread house time. I can go into the Grand. Wilderness, Fort Wilderness, I think is like a hidden gem. And I'm not a camper. You know, I'm a Chicago girl. I want a hotel with flushing toilets. But the campgrounds... are absolutely amazing and quite a fun, you know, I also do run Disney, so I like to train back into the campground. There's lots of trails, but at Christmas time, because they get so many snowbirds, they compete for decorating their campsites.
Oh, wow.
And these people are hardcore, and they're like, we do a whole, like, we bring a cooler and I bring like, you know, platters, snack trays. We got our wine coolers. We call them our bags of wine, you know, out of the box wine and beer and whatever. And we just kind of walk. You just walk and we look at all the different sites and the decorations. And They also have like a pargo parade. Some of these people go way out and decorate their pargos. Like, amazing.
Wow, they like really take ownership over there.
Oh, they
That's
do.
Cool. And I've never I'm done like, that before. Like, go and look at all of that. Disney World at Christmas is, in my opinion, the best place on earth you can go for Christmas.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing better than the Disney World Resort at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. It's super magical. But I would never thought to go look at people's campgrounds.
Right.
Like, to see their decorations. That's awesome.
And I heard they do it for Halloween, too. And in almost 20 years that I've worked here, wouldn't think of Halloween over at the campgrounds. And so this past Halloween, I tried to get in because it's gotten really popular. It's really, and their parking is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't let me in. So I was like,
why?
Because
there's no parking?
There was no parking unless you had a reservation to like Trails End, which is my favorite restaurant in the whole wide world.
Wow.
So you could park at Magic Kingdom and take the ferry over.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I'm tired. I just worked all day.
You're like, nah, whatever.
Maybe next year. It'll still be there. But right. But like I said, it's like one of those gyms that most people, unless you are a guest that always goes to the campgrounds, you probably just wouldn't think that they would do anything for the holidays.
No, not at all.
No.
Well, before we wrap it up here, if you could just think of what's one thing that you would want people to know that you know from the cast members' perspective about going to Walt Disney World that most people don't know.
Well, my one friend and I joke that like we have feelings too.
Oh.
You know, I think people look at us kind of like we're robots.
Man, that's not even a joke. I hate when people mistreat cast members.
Yeah.
Like, everyone listening to the show, I'm sure, would never, ever mistreat a cast member. And if they do, I will come after them. But man, nothing will piss me off in a Disney park faster than seeing somebody, like, berate a cast member.
Well, I just felt bad, like I did something wrong when Roxy said that, and I didn't even do anything.
Right. I will hunt you down.
I will disfigure you. I've gotten a lot of like cool Disney magic perks from cast members because I stand up for them all the time. I'll get in somebody's face if they're yelling at a cast member. I'll get between cast members and guests, like. I'll tell guests what they have done wrong and why they should be ashamed of themselves. Like, it is no joke.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, not to make light of it. I mean, I can show you some scars on my body. I've been physically attacked.
Wow.
But, you know, that's like the bad spectrum of it, and it's not an everyday occurrence. And I don't mean to take away from the guests that are magical, that want to be there, along with the cast members that want to do right by them and make the magic for them. And, you know, I've had guests, like, you know, not only go if they went to guest relations to write something about a cast member, like if they did well, you know, like a compliment.
Right.
But I've had guests, especially children, I've had them make little awards, to draw pictures. And if you did something that they thought was magical, they'll give it to a cast member. I've had guests ask for me to sign their autograph books, you know, especially when I worked in Safari.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's... So as someone visiting the parks, like I try to take note, you know, because I'm an annual pass holder for SeaWorld, Universal, Gatorland, Busch Gardens. I'm a theme park person.
Yeah.
So I'm all about recognition. And when someone goes above and beyond, or, you know, and sometimes it's just the littlest thing, I'm not asking for something for free.
Right.
But when you've obviously put in the effort to know your storyline, if you're and an attraction and, you know it backwards and forwards and make it that much more special and not get frustrated when the person's asking you a question that you've probably heard 20,000 times that day. But, you know, I think those are things that count.
I would say that is probably the hardest thing about being a cast member that I would think is because not too long ago, I was standing outside the Haunted Mansion waiting for it to open. It was down. Mm-hmm. And I figured I only had a little bit of time in the park, so I figured I'll just sit there and wait for, you know, a few minutes. And during that time, I saw the same cast member say the same thing over and over again to so many different people with so much patience and friendliness as though it was the first time
right.
they ever said it. And that's when it really dawned on me. I'm like, I don't know if I could do that.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I am way too bitchy. Yeah.
And oh, I bet you guys could.
No. I don't like stupidity. It irks me. I do not feel that stupidity should be rewarded. I would not make a good cast member.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's stupidity, but I guess, you know, it's kind of common sense. Is like,
no, come on. You've heard some stupid questions.
No, I have, but I'm just talking about the people that were coming up wanting to ride the Haunted Mansion. Because in all honesty, if I didn't go there all the time and I rolled up there, and I've actually done it because before I lived close to the parks, I'm like, I'm here to go to the Haunted Mansion and it's closed. And I'm like, when is it going to be open? Uh-huh. Like, I know
and,
that.
Like, that's okay. Like that I could do. Like, there's nothing stupid about people asking like, well, no, I mean, I specifically, I could not be a cast member because I can't handle stupid people. Like, man, there's people in the park that you just want to push into a trash can because they are so dumb.
True, but then you find magical ways to play with them. Just, I also call Disney Tourette's. There's ways of being magical without swearing. You know, I've had guests like, you just have to have the last word. I'm like, no, I don't. Have a magical day.
No, I don't.
But, I mean, you find ways around it. And then, unfortunately, then once you're off property, that's when you decompress. And maybe sometimes you're just like, rah, 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 what happened during your day. And a non-Disney cast member wouldn't understand. They're like, why do you work there? Well, I do love it. I just need to decompress, you know.
No, of course.
If the ride broke down or something. Or,
I
know, the year we had hurricanes.
Right?
Right.
No, I have so much respect for cast members because I know I couldn't do it. You know, the third person to ask me where the monorail station to Harry Potter Land is, that'd be it. I'm done. You don't deserve to be in this park.
We get that at Pleasure Island. People would argue with me. I know I came here by monorail.
Uh-huh.
And my one manager, he's like, don't argue. Just tell them to walk that way and you point towards Epcot. They'll figure it out. So that's it. Okay.
Walk to Epcot from downtown Disney. Is there? Can you even do that? Is there a place? Is there a sidewalk?
No.
Punishment. You got to go through the swamps and fight the gator.
That's right.
No, I have because, you know, because we go so much, especially when we were in Florida and we lived there and we went every single day. Just some of the things that you hear people say and you hear people ask, you're just like, you. Not only do you not deserve to be in this park, you probably don't deserve the oxygen that you're taking up.
Yeah.
Like, I watched a guy lick the castle back when it was the 25th.
It was the cake? The cake?
Yes.
The cake?
Oh. Yep. I watched a grown man, lick the castle and be surprised that it was not frosting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably because a cast member probably told him it was.
Oh, boy. Can't get in trouble for that.
I was just...
I got it. All right. Well, enough stupid people bashing. I just...
Yeah. We'll save that for another podcast.
We'll do Roxy. I'm going to do a whole Roxy's World episode of stupid people bashing.
All right. That's
let me call in on that one.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Wow. I used to work for an airline, so I can include all different sides.
Oh boy. You've seen that. You've been in every aspect of the travel industry. You've been a part of it.
I have. I've also done massage therapy, so Those people get weird on that one too.
Oh,
but
boy.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can explore that on another podcast. I don't know which one, but I'm sure there's one for that. But thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. And
chatting with us and giving us a little bit of the preview experience on some of the new Animal Kingdom things. And I guess the very last thing there is, so what's coming is Rivers of Light. To Animal Kingdom.
Oh, and Rivers of Light.
What's the ETA on that? Because it was delayed. Yeah. It was supposed to open this past month or past week or something, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be open at the beginning of May.
Oh, longer than that, yeah.
Yeah. And, I really don't know what the ETA on that is.
It's TBA.
Yeah, it's TBA'd. I know when I was there the other night, like, it looked like they were pulling some of the barges out, but they kind of made it seem like the Jungle Book show is only going to be there for a month, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it seems like they did this Jungle Book too because Rivers of Light was delayed, this show, so it's like a temporary thing, so hopefully it's quality. You know, I guess it's quality enough if Jon Favreau came out.
I'd hope so. Because... I know, don't hate me. I've never seen Jungle Book.
Oh, the new movie? So, I mean,
I've never seen the cartoon.
Oh, you never seen the cartoon?
Or the movie.
I mean, I'm not going to hate you for that. How dare you? I mean, whatever.
I know.
No, but the movie, as I said on the show before, it was excellent, the new one. I prefer it to the animated version, actually. You know,
is crazy.
Most people love the animated version because of the music, but
right.
There's not really there's not a lot of music in the live action one. But I went to see live action and then I came home and watched the animated version like right afterwards, so I had a complete comparison. And you know, after a while, I just turned off the animated version because so I was just like, I don't know, that movie was really good. So I don't know, but that's my take.
I was just wishing they would have just moved Nemo over towards the water and brought Tarzan Rocks back. Because I loved Tarzan Rocks.
I think Tarzan's reign is over. I don't think Tarzan's going to be doing any resurgence in the parks.
You know what? No. I guarantee there's groups of people that would still go see Tarzan show. I'm one of them.
All right. Well, you guys go check that out in Yesterland.
I don't know if it was Tarzan Rocks, but when we were at Disneyland Paris, they had a little Tarzan show. And it was impressive, I think, is the best way to put it. I mean, I'm sure there was a show. But Tarzan was incredible.
You just like watching Tarzan is what you're saying.
Yeah. Absolutely. That French Tarzan will forever be ingrained in my brain.
All right. Well, that's not this podcast either. So we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
Well, thanks again for coming on, Danielle.
Thank you for having me. And, you know, as they say, we don't say goodbye. We say Quaharini, which means go well. So go well, everyone.
Quaharini.
Right, awesome.
Quaharini. And thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you.
You guys are magical.
Thanks again to Danielle for coming on the show. If you would like to contact us and eventually end up on the show, which is very likely, you never know what could happen, just send us an email, creepykingdom@gmail.com. If you want to check out any of our other podcasts, Kirby Kitty Chat, Demon James Podcast, and Roxy's World, just go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for the show notes, creepy Disney cosplay videos, fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, just go to creepykingdom.com
And if you're on Facebook, which who isn't on Facebook, be sure to join our Facebook group, The Citizens of Creepy Kingdom. And if you would like to support us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by going to patreon.com/creepykingdom. Well, until next time.
I have a girl now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.